broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for August the 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We're also convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. Furthermore, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. A quick recap of Saturday's show. I was by myself 2 hours. Sam on Saturday doubles down in defense of America, the greatest country on earth, and provides solutions and direction on what it will take to preserve the land of the free. I also then recapped the important news of the week. That was our 1 hour two. We talked about just as the deep state wanted. Poor Steve Stockman is now infected with COVID-19. Yes, indeed. Steve Stockman in prison has corona. And our prayers are with him big time. We contrasted Steve's case with another interesting case. The House Ethics Committee ordered Republican Arizona rep, the guy's name is David Schweikart, to pay $50,000. It was a fine after he supposedly violated 11 different House rules on campaign finance and congressional budget details. And I postulated that, you know what, this is the deep state, and it's different than the way they treat Steve Stockman. Turns out I had a listener, a well-known columnist, email me, who listens to the program, and said, hey, Sam, you know what, some of what you say is right, but this guy's not a deep state guy, and, you know, and she had an update on Steve Stockman for me. That Steve Stockman is now getting some treatment, which is wonderful. She then compared this David Schweikart guy a little bit and said he's actually a pretty good guy. He just happened to have a little bit better circumstances than attorneys. And so I basically said to her over the weekend, I said, you know what? I didn't realize all that stuff. And why don't you, come on the radio program and we'll talk about it. And one of the, in my opinion, keys. We all get things wrong sometimes, folks. We all get things not quite accurate if we don't have all the information, right? But I said, you know, one of the keys to credibility is humility. That's right. One of the keys to credibility is humility. Willingness to come on air and say, hey, you know what? I didn't have it perfect. Here's what I knew at the time. Here's what's come to light since. And we want to give you guys the whole story. I believe that's the key to credibility. Are you humble enough to say, hey, I didn't, you know, have it right exactly. And here's the details that I didn't know about. Anyway, so she said, well, I don't want to come on air, and I'm not trying to make you look bad or anything else. And I said, I understand all that. I get it. But anyway, so she'll be coming on tomorrow, and we'll break this down in detail, and we'll get caught up. And I appreciate her willingness to talk about it. Anyway, her name is Rachel Alexander, and she's been on the program before. And anyway, we'll work on that. But I just thought I'd kind of tell you that. That's interesting, and I appreciate her bringing greater light and knowledge to the subject. You know what? We're not unwilling to admit that, hey, we didn't have all the details. And I hope David Schweikart's a great guy, and I'm glad that, you know, we're all about justice and mercy on this program. And we need to kind of work through that person by person, situation by situation. I think poor Steve Stockman's been given the shaft, no doubt. I also think, though, that, you know what? I'm glad David Schweikart did a little bit better for himself. And I pray for both their families. Anyway, we'll get an update about that tomorrow in more detail. FBI investigation. I guess they investigated Joe Biden's campaign for corruption. Yeah. And this is kind of another comparison that I gave during the show. There's only one guy that went to jail back in 2012, okay, over this Joe Biden corrupt investigation. The guy's name was Christopher Ticani, and he was the only one to go to jail. He's a beer salesman. He was sentenced to 2 years in prison back in March 2012. And I guess the investigation didn't give the Biden campaign any trouble, but it did not exonerate the campaign either. In fact, it made it worse. It just highlighted the corruption going on in Delaware politics is all it managed to do. Nevertheless, Chris went to jail, nobody else. Bill Clinton also went to Jeffrey Epstein's island with young girls, witness now says, in unsealed court documents, the blaze. Yeah, Bill Clinton, senators, governors, princes, Epstein's island. That's according to Virginia, I don't know how to say her name, Jufer. Anyway, according to unsealed court documents, Fox News even shows that flight logs shows that Bill Clinton was on the Lolita Express, Jeffrey Epstein's sex plane, more than 26 times, five times without a security detail while he was president. And a spokesman for Bill Clinton, of course, said, don't worry, Bill never went to the convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein's island of the Caribbean called Little St. James. He never went there. We also talked about when radical governors encourage Marxist revolutionary riots, but then ban godly worship. There is signs that there are serious troubles. There's a bigger agenda afoot than fighting the COVID agenda, folks, right? Wow. Our nation is in great peril, but hope is not lost when there are Christians involved who turn to their God for guidance. We got to defend our great country and churches. Kanye West lamented the deaths of thousands of black babies. He, you know, tweeted that on Friday, being criticized big time. Kanye's right. Donald Trump Jr. says, I choose the rule of law. The Democrats are the party of lawlessness and anarchy. Contempt for the law has become their only platform core. It's the basis of their platform, he says. I don't know if it's the Democrats only. It's the deep swamp. I don't know if Donald gets that. The Republicans aren't the good guys and Democrats aren't the bad guys. Now you can say, well, Sam, more Republicans are good than Democrats. Okay. But there's still a deep swamp that has encompassed both parties. Let's not lose sight of the reality. Donald Trump Jr. punished for retweet of a coronavirus cure. Yeah. Him and his dad, President Donald J. Trump, defended, censored. So Donald Trump and his son, Donald Trump Jr., both defended doctors that are being censored for recommending hydroxychloroquine. So we told you about that. The White House also submitted a petition to the FCC challenging big tech. And we also talked about Officer Darren Williams. That's the guy back in the Michael Brown case back in 2014. Officer Darren Williams won't be charged with the 2014 Brown killing by John Elligan with the story. It's interesting. A jury got him off a long time ago, but then the government looked into it. And it's almost a double jeopardy crisis going on. But nevertheless, they came to the same conclusion. Darren Brown, police officer, not guilty of going outside of guidelines. Now, we also talked about election interference. Google purges Breitbart from search results. We talked about that quite a bit. It was a good show with a lot of details. Still available at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. Spread the word. Lowell Nelson, Campaign for Liberty. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Good to be with you.
You are very welcome, my friend. You want to start out by talking about an update from last week, right?
Yes. I mentioned last week this article where the states were going to get billions of dollars of aid from the general government in this coronavirus relief package, basically. The general government has set aside $30 billion for this relief to states. And so the numbers are huge. Like the state of Utah was going to get $94,000 per case, per COVID-19 case. And, that's a huge number. Other states were much bigger than that. I mean, we're talking $300,000 per case. And so I contacted our state auditor and asked him how much money Utah had gotten for coronavirus relief so far. And he replied, and he said, quote, I don't know the total number, and it probably depends on how you count it. Our state treasurer should know the most current number on how much has been transferred directly to the state of Utah. Other monies have been sent directly to Salt Lake County and to Utah County. It's my understanding that other monies may have gone directly to certain medical providers. Also, there were the $1,200 checks sent directly to many Utahns. At the current level, and this is the last sentence in his reply to me, he says, at the current level of about 38,000 positive cases in Utah, that $94,000 per COVID case would equate to about $3.5 billion, which might be in the ballpark when all of the above payments are counted, end of quote. So it's very interesting, Sam, that, you know, here's kind of acknowledgement going on here from our state auditor saying that, you know what, it might be true that maybe Utah is getting this money from the general government, but it's hard to tell because some of it may be going to the state of Utah, some to the counties, and some to certain medical providers. So, yeah, I don't...
Well, I don't really understand when you say you talk to the auditor and they say they might be getting the money. Look, if you're the auditor, you better know.
Well, state treasurer would be the one to know. So I'm going to check with our state treasurer and maybe give you an update next week. But all I'm saying is the auditor would know only if he audited the books for, you know, the state or the books of Salt Lake County or whatever. But, yeah, he's not going to know, whereas the state treasurer would know. So,
is he willing to help get the information?
What's that?
Is he willing to help get the information?
Yeah, he is. Good guy. Both of them, both the state treasurer and the auditor. Good man.
All right. John Whitehead writes a column. We'll dig into that in seconds with Lowell Nelson on your radio.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
So, you two are real actors, huh?
Well, I was an extra on a soap opera for 3 years.
And I'm best known for starring in cat food commercials. Mm. Meow.
And you're going to play our parents for how long?
Oh, just during dinner for the next few years, probably until you're both off to college. Your real parents will be back every night at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
Hey, your dad's busy. He's got work, softball, client functions.
Yeah, and your mom, she's got the literary club and play rehearsals. So.
Don't you worry. They'll be back on time.
Otherwise, we get time and a half.
Ka-ching! Okay, according to the script, we're supposed to asked you how your day was.
Yes.
Okay, I guess.
Ooh, is that the best you can do?
I think I want my real parents.
I don't see that in the script.
No ad-libbing, please.
There's no substitute for a loving parent. And when you're really there, you'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, for more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
All right, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org is with us. Ron Paul Institute, Ron Paul, has got an interesting column we'll try to get to if we can here, too, or an interesting weekly update. We'll get to that when we can. For now, though, John Whitehead wrote a fascinating column, Lowell.
Sure did, Sam. And this column was posted at ronpaulinstitute.org last week. His opening quote comes from James Madison. It is proper to take alarm at the first experiment on our liberty. We hold this prudent jealousy to be the first duty of citizens and one of the noblest characteristics of the late revolution. The free man of America did not wait till usurped power had strengthened itself by exercise and entangled the question in precedent. They saw all the consequences in the principle, and they avoided the consequences by denying the principle. end of quote. So that's an important quote. James Madison, he's saying that we citizens have a duty to be alarmed at the first encroachment upon our liberty. In other words, we don't wait until our liberties have been encroached upon to begin to try to fight it, because by then it'll be too late and the precedents will be set. But what our duty is to challenge the principle when it first appears on the horizon. Now, why did he say that? Why did John Whitehead quote James Madison in this way? Well, it is because we are submitting to numerous encroachments upon our liberty, and precedents are being set all around us. How do we know? Well, he says we have become a nation under house arrest. So he recalls to mind the couple from Kentucky that was given ankle bracelets. This is like 2 weeks ago. We talked about this, maybe last week. Ankle bracelets by police to enforce a stay-at-home order from the county health department. And then he describes what happened to Elizabeth and Isaiah Linscott. Now, I hadn't heard of the Linscott case, but apparently it just barely happened. Elizabeth took a precautionary diagnostic COVID-19 test before traveling to visit her parents and grandparents in Michigan. The test came back positive, but Elizabeth was asymptomatic for the novel coronavirus. In other words, had no symptoms of the virus, but this test claimed that she had the virus. Well, she was asked to sign a self-quarantine order agreeing to check in daily with the health department and to not travel anywhere without prior approval, very similar to this couple from Kentucky. Well, she refused to sign that order. She said, I shouldn't have to ask for consent. I'm an adult. I can make that decision. And as a citizen of the United States, it's my right to make that decision without having to disclose that to somebody else. And I couldn't agree more with her. She says, I wouldn't wear a mask. I would do everything that I could to make sure I wouldn't come in contact with other people because of the fear of spreading this virus. But no, I would have just stayed home and taken care of my child. Well, so instead of signing this blanket statement, promising to contact the health department if she ever decided to go anywhere or to leave her house, she wrote out her own declaration and submitted that. And what she said in her own written declaration was this, Sam. She says, I will do my best to stay home as I do every other time I get sick. But I cannot comply to having to call the public health department every time I need to go out and do something. It's my right and freedom to go where I please and not have to answer to anyone for it. There is no pandemic. And with a survival rate of 99.9998%, I'm fine. I will continue to avoid the elderly. Just like prior guidelines state, I'll try to stay home, I'll get rest, get medicine, and get better. I decline. End of quote. That was her statement. So, wouldn't you know it, a few days after being informed...
Well, let's be clear for a second first. Not only did she, try to be as careful as she could and take the test voluntarily, not only did the test come back positive, not only is she willing to swear out her statement and be as careful as she possibly can, that wasn't good enough for these thugs.
No, sirree. They want more control, more authority. A few days after being informed about Elizabeth's case and that it was being escalated and referred to law enforcement, the Linscotts reportedly found their home surrounded by multiple government vehicles, government personnel, and the county sheriff, armed with a court order and ankle monitors. End of quote. So, Sam, we have to remember what James Madison said at the outset, quote, to take alarm at the first experiment on our liberty. That's what Madison said. And so whether or not you consider these COVID-19 restrictions to be cause for the alarm, they are far from the first experiment on our liberties. Whether or not you concede that the pandemic itself is cause for alarm, we should all be alarmed by the government's response to this pandemic, Sam.
Well, and many others, we're starting to see more and more and more cases around the country where people are literally being killed over not wearing masks, or harmed over not wearing masks, or denied service over not wearing masks, or like Lowell pointed out last week when he was with us, if you try to pay cash for something, Oh, no, I can't take that. Never mind. It says that this instrument can be used to pay all debts, public and private. So we're starting to see more and more and more divide over this. And so, look, you know what? They wanted her to sign their order. She refused. Now it's a power struggle between this poor lady and the government. It's out of control. Law enforcement wrongfully being used in this case. But don't worry. They're going to up the ante. To wear masks or not to wear masks is one issue. But what about the money supply? It's getting worse, folks. If you don't believe me, just ask Ron Paul. Lowell?
This column posted at campaignforliberty.org last Monday. It's so important, though. We simply must discuss it. He's talking about Fedcoin. Now, this is the first I've heard about this, Sam, and so I was quite surprised to read it. I guess not. I shouldn't be surprised anymore at anything the government does, but nevertheless, I did not realize that this was actually put into legislation. This was put into the first coronavirus spending bill and then dropped before the final version of the bill passed, but there's still great interest in Fedcoin on Capitol Hill. Both the Senate Banking Committee and the House Financial Services Committee held hearings on Fedcoin in June. That's just like a month and a half ago. This is the first step toward making Fedcoin a reality. Okay, what's Fedcoin? Well, Fedcoin is basically a digital dollar. You know, the Federal Reserve, if they issue a digital dollar and give you their digital dollars, they may be able to track your purchases in real time and share that information with government agencies. It would not be an actual coin. It's nothing you can heft or hold in your hand. Instead, it's a special account created and maintained for each American by the Federal Reserve. So each month, Fed employees could tap a few keys on a computer, and voila, each American would have dollars added to his Federal Reserve account.
Now, let's be clear. If they can add dollars, they can also take away dollars. Just be clear.
Absolutely right, Sam. And basically, this is the 21st century equivalent of helicopter money, right? I mean, they don't have to send you a check of, you know, $1,200 or $600 or whatever it was this last go-around that you cash in your bank. They just basically give you an account, a free account here, and then they can add money to it, and you can spend it. How about that? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, yeah, all the people at the trough are going to shout for joy. But what's this really going to amount to, right? I mean, this is Ron Paul looking into the future, as he has done for so many decades, and describing the dangers inherent with Fedcoin. And so he goes on, he says here, Sam, Fedcoin could crowd out private cryptocurrencies. Also, it would limit the ability of private citizens to protect themselves from the Federal Reserve caused decline in the dollar's value. And you stated just a moment ago, they could, if they can give you the money, they can zero your account also. So if you weren't being a good, proper citizen, for example, if you caused them some outrage, or maybe you refused to sign a statement from the county health department, they could zero your account, Sam. They could, yeah, if they can give you money, they can take it away. Fedcoin would not magically increase the number of available goods and services, and what it would do, Ron Paul says, is would drive up prices. The damage this would do to middle and lower income Americans would dwarf any benefit they receive from their monthly gift from the Fed. The rise in prices could lead to Congress regularly increasing Fedcoin payments to Americans. These increases would cause prices to keep rising even more until we face hyperinflation and a dollar crisis. Of course, we are already on the path to economic crisis thanks to the Fed, and the Fedcoin would simply hasten and worsen that crisis. Sam?
As Kurt Crosby would say, other than that, it's not so bad. More details in seconds. Sam and Kurt, Lowell Nelson, Campaign for Liberty on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. You
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Florida ended up getting some heavy bands of rain and some gusty winds along its southeastern coast from Tropical Storm Isaias, but now it's expected to become a hurricane again later today as it approaches the Carolinas and gets ready to head up the eastern seaboard. Daniel Brown is a senior hurricane specialist at the National Hurricane Center, and he says those hurricane conditions probably won't last for long.
It will likely weaken once it moves into eastern North Carolina. However, it's still expected to remain a tropical storm as it moves across the near the mid-Atlantic coast.
Tomorrow, the storm is expected to impact the mid-Atlantic, perhaps reaching in as far as Washington, D.C. Thousands have been told to evacuate as a huge Southern California wildfire keeps getting bigger, the Apple Fire burning in rugged terrain in Riverside County. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our health care. No doubt, this is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly health care costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with health care costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry that's worked beautifully for 27 years. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows says he's not banking on Congress reaching a deal on a new pandemic-related stimulus bill anytime soon. On CBS's Face the Nation, he said talks did move forward a bit on Saturday, but he said the road to a deal is still very long. Meadows floated the idea of a short-term extension of enhanced unemployment benefits while the talks continue. Senate Democrats shot down that proposal, though. A top House Democrat predicting that if President Trump loses November's election, he won't go quietly. House Majority Whip Jim Clyburn saying he believes President Trump would find some way to hold on to power.
He doesn't plan to have fair and unfettered elections. He plans to install himself in some kind of emergency way to continue to hold on to office.
Clyburn was speaking on CNN's State of the Union. The Philadelphia Eagles head coach has tested positive for the virus, and this is USA Radio News.
All right, this huge currency play that Ron Paul's bringing up is serious indeed. Now, I mentioned to you that they're not going to let this pandemic and these riots in the streets go without eventually tampering with our money supply. And here's the congressional play, huh, Lull?
I'll say this, Sam. I grow worried, more and more worried, that this whole plague, this pandemic, is basically cover for the demise of the dollar, right? I mean, they're not going to ever admit that the dollar, that the reserve currency of the world, failed because it was inflated. They will not admit that. They'll claim that they had to replace it with something like a digital dollar, these Fed coins or whatever, or some world global currency of some similar nature, but they will never admit, because it's a big scam and most people don't realize, only 1 in 1,000 people, well, maybe 1 in 100 people now that Ron Paul's message has been getting out, will ever realize that the monetary Keynesian economics is what's causing the destruction of the middle class and the demise of our currency.
The Federal Reserve could really understand. They could decide what this, you know, what your money's used for. They could watch you. They could do things. They could, you know what? They could share this information with the IRS or the FBI. Or, well, you don't believe us? Think about back in the Barack Obama administration, Lull.
Well, Barack Obama administration. You mean when they were cracking down on the 32-ounce soda drinks and saying you can't buy these because bad for your health?
Yeah, and then when they cranked up Operation Choke Point.
The Operation Choke Point, yes, how come that sounds familiar to me?
Operation Choke Point was Barack Obama's administration. And Operation Choke Point involved financial regulators alerting banks that dealing with certain businesses like gun shops or whatever would put the banks in a reputational risk situation. Think about reputational risk. And then they could subject them to greater regulation if they dealt with the ne'er-do-wells, if you will.
Yeah, now you're ringing the bell. I remember what we're talking about here, yeah. So they could do this, right? I mean, because they can track. I mean, if you spend this Fed coin for, you know, something that they find objectionable, say you're buying guns and ammo, or maybe you're buying fatty foods, or maybe you're buying tobacco, any of these, you know, commodities that they think are bad for you, then they could maybe not authorize the transaction. You know, if the cash register rings up something that they don't want you to buy, they might just not pay for it. They might reject that particular transaction. So it's really pernicious. This is evil. I mean, this is you don't have any privacy anymore. You're not able to spend money on purchasing stuff that you need or that you want. And this gives the government huge power.
Yeah, like what if you were to buy copies to promote some kind of an event that you had? You went to Patriot Printing Kirk Crosby, and you got your copies, and they realized you spent a Fed coin with Kirk Crosby, and, well, that funds this radio show when you help Kirk Crosby out, so you might buy raw honey along your way, and you know what? You can't be doing that kind of stuff. They might turn you in and say, hey, you're dealing with the ne'er-do-wells. You're dealing with the folks that, according to Operation Choke Point, you might be dealing with people that would put you at reputational risk there, Lowell.
Yeah. Well, it strikes me, Sam, as coming out very similar to, you know, the prophecy of John coming out of the book of Revelation about, you know, in these last days, you know, people won't be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. I mean, what if this Fed coin is the mark of the beast? And what if you're not able to buy and sell, you know, without it? I mean, we're getting pretty close to the end times, it looks like to me, and this is more evidence of getting close, in my opinion.
So is it called digital dollar or is it called Fed coin? It's both, right?
Yeah, it's called Fed coin, but yeah, it's digital dollars, basically digital equivalent of Federal Reserve notes, and I don't know. I just think it's scary that the government is actually, you know, both the House and the Senate congressional committees considered this Fed coin in June, and so it's here, folks. We need to kick back against this. This is not appropriate for government to steal our wealth this way, and then helicopter it in to everybody. It just reduces the value of the dollars you already got in your back pocket. And it's going to destroy the middle class and make thirst out of everybody here, Sam. Not good.
Fed coin, a new scheme for tyranny and poverty. Written by Ron Paul, ladies and gentlemen. And this is serious. If some Congress members get their way, this would create disaster for you and me. All right? Okay. Fed coin, or the, quote, digital dollar, will threaten private cryptocurrencies, increase inflation, and give government new powers over our financial transactions. Now listen, Fedcoin will also speed up destruction of the fiat currency, if you will. Whatever gain it might bring to the average American, we'll pay for it in loss of liberty and prosperity, is the bottom line from Ron Paul on this. This is serious business, folks. And I knew that they were going to take a shot at the currency, and now it has congressional legs. So my speculation, I would say quite educated speculation, has now turned into the monster on Capitol Hill. It is disaster. All right, any final note on this one, Lowell?
No final note on that.
All right, we'll keep an eye on this ball as digital currencies continue to unfold and as they try to foist the Fed dollar on us. They used to call it the Amero back in the day when they wanted the European Union equivalent in America. So be ready and watch for it. It won't be backed by real money. It will be backed by tyrannical agendas, though. That's without a doubt. All right, Ron Paul also had a medical privacy law in danger act. He was trying to prevent us from being tagged at the government level medically. He did a great job back in the day, but now that's being threatened under, well, it's because of the COVID, lol. It's because of the COVID, right?
Yes. Yes, they're using a crisis. Never let a good crisis go to waste, right? So back in 1998, that's about 22 years ago, Ron Paul got enacted in the federal law a ban on what's called a unique patient identifier, okay? So he banned that. In other words, hospitals were prohibited from giving a patient a unique identifier, like a number, okay? So, of course, you know, the states never gave the general government the power to ask for your medical record, but it is on the brink of doing so. And U.S. House will vote on an amendment to H.R. 7617 that repeals the ban on this unique patient identifier. And so Campaign for Liberty is putting out the message here, the signal, the alarm. They're sounding the alarm and saying, please call your U.S. representative and tell them to oppose the amendment that would allow the general government to develop a unique patient identifier. This identifier would allow tracking and tracing. It would be stored in a federal database, sitting there easy for government officials to ensure compliance with new mandates. And, for example, new mandates such as the proposal that citizens obtain a digital certificate showing whether you have been vaccinated for COVID-19 or not, right? I mean, that's what they're thinking that we need to go to. Well, if you don't have a unique patient identifier, then they are not going to be able to enforce this immunity certificate. But with a unique patient identifier, they could also use that to enforce red flag laws, right, by allowing law enforcement to see whether a gun owner ever sought counseling for any reason, right? So if you're feeling blue at some point in your history over a divorce or a death in the family or whatever, and, you know, your doctor happens to talk to your doctor about that, then you may have endangered your right to a firearm, right? Because that's what red flag law is, right? Red flag law says, well, we think so-and-so down the street has mental issues, he's depressed, and so he might get a gun and kill people, so we're going to preemptively walk in and take away all his guns, right? And that's wrong, absolutely wrong. So, folks, this patient, this unique patient identifier, is serious, and we simply have to call our congressman, tell him to oppose the amendment that would allow the general government to implement this patient identifier, unique patient identifier. This ban that Ron Paul put into place 22 years ago could be repealed by this amendment, H.R. 7617. So please call your U.S. rep and tell them to oppose this amendment that would allow the general government to implement a unique patient identifier.
This violates the doctor-patient relationship. How honest and how transparent will you be with your doctor knowing everything is going straight to your government?
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
I As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
So bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, if they get this, quote, national identifier, put it in a database for everybody regarding their health, how transparent will you be with your doctor, knowing everything will go straight to government? This digital, quote, personal identifier, this, quote, patient ID, if you will be used to implement HR 6666. That's the contact tracking and tracing agenda they've got going on, folks. With every American's unique patient identifier in a database, it'll be easy for government to force mandates. For example, you're going to show your certificate showing that you've been properly vaccinated or that you do not have the COVID-19. Have you got the proper, papers to prove all that? This is very dangerous. Call your congressman and senator, listen to Ron Paul on this one, and stand against. Stand against this patient ID they're working on. Ron Paul, again, blocked this back in the day, but again, they'll tie that to your Social Security number. They'll tie that to this, quote, Fed coin. And pretty soon, wow, this dossier on you will be used against you like you haven't seen before. Not only will they divide you on if you'll wear a mask or not, on if you've been vaccinated or not, on if you, and they'll go on and on, but then they'll use this trigger point of divide as well. It's called racial exclusivity. Or inclusivity, is that what it's called? Or exclusivity? I bring this up because it's debatable what it really is, and it's coming to Highland. Lull's got the tails. Highland, Utah is embracing this. Tiny town America all across the country is embracing this. Highland, Utah will become our case study for today, Lull.
Well, it's going to be a There's a bunch of us here in Highland.
Say that again. It's going to be a battleground. I didn't put you up fast enough. Sorry, sir. It's going to be a battleground.
Yeah, it's going to be a battleground right here in Highland, because there's a bunch of us that are pretty sensitive to this type of invasion of racism into our community. And so and so it's worth talking about. Here, we're going to talk about a letter, an email that was sent to the city council by one of my good friends who has been studying this issue for years. And so he sends this email to the mayor and to the city council, introduces himself, says, I've lived here 20 years, wonderful place to live, raise a family. No place is perfect, though. And then he talks about, the importance of anyone who has sworn an oath to defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic, must realize there are threats to the Constitution from domestic sources. There are always those that want to establish themselves in ruling positions by subjecting others to their domination under the promise of equality and inclusion. Let me just step aside here. The reason I want to talk about this today, Sam, is that this type of movement, this type of infiltration is occurring in small towns all across America, and in big towns, obviously, but certainly in small towns also. So I think by discussing this issue here, we can help alert our listening audience to the potential for damage in their own small towns, their own hometowns. And so, continuing on, my friend writes, these lies are a careful twisting of truth that makes them feel right while leading us down a road that's entirely separate from the path of freedom. America's been in transition for several decades. after Bill Ayers and the Weather Underground terrorists failed to create a revolution in the streets of America by various bombings, they took their fight the next logical step, the education system. They became embedded in colleges as teachers of teachers to help warp the next minds of America in public schools. Social justice was their tool, and its poison has spread across America. They used the tactics of Saul Alinsky, whose book Rules for Radicals contains a dedication page to Lucifer as the first radical that got thrown out of heaven. Black Lives Matter's leadership openly states they are trained Marxists. This is a domestic threat of the highest order, as their goal is the overthrow of American government and capitalism. They are not in this for the black community or to heal racial issues. They are in it for power. They are very organized and well-funded by George Soros and others intent on destroying Christianity and freedom. Continuing this letter, Sam, our children have been fed lies of systemic racism and other class warfare tactics to bring them to the point we now find ourselves, which is an existential crisis for America. It's a perfect storm. Those who seek to overthrow our freedom have created a deep state that controls much of what happens in bureaucratic halls of government. They wield enormous power to fund corruption and silence those who would expose their deeds. From below, they have the help of what Lenin called useful idiots who don't know that they're being played to help with the takeover. We are in serious trouble. These players think they will have equal power and share in the treasure of the rich. No such thing will take place. As Orwell put in his novel Animal Farm, some pigs are more equal than others. And so it is with dismay that I learned yesterday that the Highland City Council has apparently brought into the law, has apparently bought into the lie of systemic racism and the language of inclusivity and has formed a committee on this topic. These types of terms have been used by Bill Ayers to create division, not healing. They promote the lie that America was founded on racism. Social justice actually creates reverse discrimination and racism. If you're white, you should feel guilty and put yourself in bondage to blacks with reparations. If you're black, you should be angry and destroy things, taking out your vengeance. The people in power exploit and put blacks down, telling them they expect them to act in barbaric ways while telling white people they are evil for something they've never done. That's racism. People are accountable for their own sins, not for the transgressions of their ancestors. So, from the mayor's recent blog entry, we find a link to racial inclusivity document subtitled, A Highland and Alpine Community Initiative. Oh, doesn't that sound beautiful, Sam? I'm inserting my parenthetical satire here. A Highland and Alpine Community Initiative. Oh, how lovely. Continuing on with his letter, he says, my friend writes, what this page contains is a very one-sided picture of things. Last night, it was linking to the fake history 1619 project of the New York Times. I pointed this out to the mayor, and he informs me it was the project of a private citizen, and taxpayer money wasn't spent on it, and the citizen has removed a few links, including that one. I would like to know who this is. It should not be an anonymous citizen. But it still is, by the way. So far, so we still don't know who is spearheading this initiative. In his current form, he writes, this is a promotion of the Marxist philosophies that Bill Ayers champions. Linking to this is almost unthinkable. I know that you all want to help solve issues, he writes, but there is only one path to solving racial issues, and that is by the gospel of Jesus Christ, teaching people to love one another. God said if we turn to him, he will heal our land. That's in 2 Chronicles 7:14. No amount of government programs or initiatives will solve individual racism. America does not have a systemic racism problem. Listen to the counterpoints of other black leaders. Look at the actual data that proves the police are not racist, and blacks who are in married families actually have a better standard of living than married whites. The great problem of the black community is the lack of fathers, which came about as a result of President Johnson's war on poverty. you can start here. He then gives some links to PragerU, gives some links to talks by Dr. Vadi Bakum.
Anyway, the bottom line on this, though, is look, folks, under the guise of trying to be kind to one another, they're literally creating this intentional racial divide. All right, it's called Racial Inclusivity Committee, comes to Highland. But it's coming to a theater, a store, a whatever you want to call it, a government committee, a whatever near you. The problem is inclusivity. What does that mean? By nature, if you're not included, you're excluded. What will it take to be included? And if you're white, it will take you to fall on your sword and betray your own heritage. That's the problem. Okay? It's not about being kind to people. The Black Lives Matter started out saying, we just want to be equal. Now they're saying, hey, we want to destroy the country. We don't care about being equal. So it's a bait-and-switch program, to say the least. And our fear is that local people who mean well are flat-out duped. All right, let's move along. We've only got one more topic left for Lowell Nelson. Samuel Adams on American independence. I think this is a great way to finish, Lowell.
It is, Sam. Thank you. This is a speech. Actually, it's the anniversary today. Well, 2 days ago was an anniversary of a speech that Samuel Adams made in Philadelphia, on the State House steps there in Philadelphia, where the Second Continental Congress met in those days. Well, he made this speech on August 1st, 1776. That's 244 years and 2 days ago. And you might remember this famous speech by this next paragraph that I'm going to quote. But so here it is. He says, quote, "If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude, then the animating contest of freedom, go from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen." End of quote. Now, his speech is amazing for so many, many reasons. But just this one paragraph gives you the sense, the feeling of how important it is that we be involved in the cause of freedom, the sacred cause of liberty. Sam and Kurt, anybody, everybody who's involved in this contest for freedom, let's stick with it. We don't need counsel or help from people who prefer the tranquility of servitude. That's not us.
It certainly is not us, ladies and gentlemen. We need to fight the good fight. Samuel Adams, back in the day, the 10th Amendment Center brings this forward every year around this time because it highlights, what was it, August 1st that he actually gave this speech, 1776?
Yep.
And so we're highlighting the points that he was making then for liberty. Whoa, boy, does history repeat itself. It's as relevant today as it was when he gave it. What, over 200 years ago?
244 years again, 244 years ago, Sam proudly declaring that on this day the people have restored the sovereign to whom alone men ought to be obedient. He's talking about the Savior Jesus Christ right there, Sam, the sovereign. The people restored the sovereign because they declared their independence from King George III, who before then had been their sovereign crown. They had restored this country to the sovereign to whom alone men ought to be obedient, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
In other words, the real sovereign, ladies and gentlemen. All right, hour one is in the can. Lowell Nelson, thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome, gentlemen. Good to be with you.
Incredible radio. He breaks it down like nobody's business, man. We can barely get to the details of the incredible topics. He brings so much to the table for discussion. Every week, great stuff. You got to get the show links and follow up on the articles that he talks about. They are incredible. All right, hour one in the can. Thank you so much, Lowell, for Sam and Kurt and Lowell Nelson. We the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. Please get involved. Make it a great day and choose the right, will you? LovingLiberty.net, LibertyRoundtable.com, CampaignForLiberty.org, RonPaulInstitute.org. Man, all kinds of places to go to learn more about truth and to help you, support you in backing our sacred cause of liberty. God save the Republic.